right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we enter the home stretch for the basketball Hoosiers of Tom Crean. Game tomorrow night at Illinois, one of their final three, two of which on the road. Next Tuesday, they are at Iowa. But tomorrow night on ESPN, 9 o'clock tip-off in Champaign. Not Assembly Hall anymore, thank God. We got that separated
out. The State Farm
Center. We don't need to give them free advertising. The heck with them. They're the idiots that sold it. That's our problem. But tomorrow, 9 o'clock, Illinois. And Illinois is down towards the bottom of the standings. But going to Champaign is always a tough trip. They are 4-10 and second from the bottom. Rutgers is in the bottom, 0-15. Minnesota now 2 wins and 2-13, but Illinois 4-10. And yes, one of those victories is over Minnesota, and yes, two of those are over Rutgers. But the interesting one for the Illini on that schedule was almost a month and a half ago, so ancient history, so to speak, but it was over Purdue. And they put 84 points up on Purdue in Champaign. And this is not a particularly great Illinois offensive basketball team to have done so against Purdue. We know Purdue's been a little bit all over the map themselves. But, Glass, I think it's important to note that not everyone goes into Illinois and gets an easy win, even a top 20 team at the time in Purdue.
No.
So this is not a trip you certainly are going to take lightly.
Well, and, Dave, the other part is Indiana hasn't exactly blown the doors off teams on the road in the Big Ten in their season either. That's been the key. And we saw last night Michigan State handle an Ohio State team pretty well, 81-62. They took care of business on the road. Maryland went to Minnesota and lost a game there. There's been some weird ones, and there are just about every season in the Big Ten. But, again, it's tough for Indiana fans now to worry about anything that happens that's not wearing candy-striped pants on Thursday night at 9 o'clock. What Purdue does is doesn't score the basketball very efficiently, and Illinois had a really good night shooting. If Illinois wants to get into a track meet with Indiana, the Illini have already seen what can happen with that, because they got into a track meet with Indiana the last time they were here in town and forgot that they had a score to stay in the ball game and gave up 61 points in a half of basketball.
That was a fun game.
That was 19 three-pointers.
103 to 69.
19 three-pointers made, every kind of record you could think of. 457 assists. Indiana only shot, 12 free throws in that game? So they destroyed
10 of 13.
Destroyed them from the field.
19 three-pointers, which was a Big Ten record.
And the Hoosiers have no problem doing that. And I think when we look at Illinois, yes, they have found that one time they scored 84 points in one. Sure, if you want to point out they scored 100 and whatever it was in a triple overtime at Rutgers, great. But the point is Illinois' three other victories are Rutgers twice and Minnesota once. Mm-hmm. So they've beaten nobody besides Purdue. And if you want to call that their day, I think that's fair because they haven't shown you any kind of consistency. And when you're talking about the final three games of a Big Ten season where you have the final results in your hands if you win out, Illinois can't be the problem tomorrow night. It has to be about Indiana. I made the same point before they went to Penn State. It wasn't about what Penn State was going to do that night. It was what Indiana had to do that night.
And they didn't do it.
They didn't do it. And the frustrating part of the Penn State game was simply they had done it against Michigan the game before that. They had shown you what could possibly happen on the road when they get after it, when they move the basketball, when they play hard, when they play feisty. And that didn't carry over to Penn State. The biggest lead in the Penn State game, Dave, I believe was 4 for Indiana. Mm-hmm. And that's not what the Hoosiers do. Indiana usually gets into you offensively, will spurt at you, will hit threes and bunches and get away from you and force you to make bunches of shots to come back. Look what Purdue had to do on Saturday just to make that game even respectable and slash close at the end. They had to play essentially flawless basketball. I think they made 7 shots in a row and missed their last one right by the rim. That would have cut it to 2. Who knows? But that's how great Purdue had to play just to get back into the game, because Indiana doing nothing out of the ordinary against the Boilermakers, except moving the basketball, making the extra pass, taking the smart shot, making smart decisions. That's what Indiana simply has to do tomorrow night against Illinois. When you look at the Illini, Dave, there's not many things that jump out at you, say, oh, geez, look out. They're at home. That's it. And the home court advantage, you can spin it any way you want. You can say, well, hey, Iowa lost at Penn State too, and this and that, and Maryland lost it at Minnesota and Michigan. And yeah, there are things like that. But when you're talking about winning a Big Ten championship in the regular season, not splitting one, winning one. These are games that must be taken care of, and it can't be about, oh, geez, Illinois had a really good night.
Right.
That doesn't work if you're a championship side team. That works if you're a team that's kind of confused on where you're going, confused on what it takes to win and win big games on the road. Is it a big game? Yeah. With three games left, it's huge because you lose this one and you lose the next one, then you need help.
Yep.
You're going to need help from somebody else, and when it's not in your hands, it's a helpless, helpless feeling.
No, they've done what they've needed up till this point. The Penn State game is the obvious difference in that statement, but it has not harmed them at this moment. They have what they need in front of them and available to them with games against the other two top teams in the Big Ten, at Iowa and home to Maryland. Certainly, both of those are going to be tough games. But again, you control, I won't say completely control the destiny, but you really do at this point in time. You beat all three of those teams, it's over. So they have what they need in front of them. But you're exactly right. At this stage, you can't have a stumble. Other teams have had the stumbles. Indiana has had a stumble. Iowa stumbled at the exact same place. Maryland stumbled at a winless Minnesota team. All of these teams have stumbled. Michigan State did it at home to Nebraska. You could go down the list here and talk about the teams that have all had that stumble. But at the key moment, you want to find out what the team's worth, and has it been truly ascending throughout the course of the season towards this end of the season, towards a Big Ten championship potentially, towards all of the postseason, then a game like this, you're exactly right. Again, it doesn't have to be a 25-point victory. It has to be a victory because you do what you need to do and you take care of business, and those are the teams that end up on top at the end.
It's not 7-7, Illinois. It's not.
No, this is not a good team.
It's not.
It's an, it's a team that frankly looks like it's infighting. It looks like it's not listening to their coach. They're banged up. They just got a guy in trouble the other day for getting in a fight at a bar or something like that. It's not a team. It's a team that I think John said this. We said this with John the other night. If you take away this team's spirit in the first 10 minutes of the game tomorrow night, this team might very well let you beat them by 50 on their home court.
Or in the first 10 minutes of the second half like Indiana did at Assembly Hall. There's ways to go about doing it, and Illinois hasn't been roughing up people at home and just been sneaking by. They beat Purdue and turned around and immediately lost to Nebraska. So any hope this team has had, have they put together two wins in a row this year anywhere?
No.
They haven't done
Not since the pre-conference.
They did play seemingly well at Wisconsin for a portion of the game. They did have a 12-point lead with about 12 minutes and 30 seconds left to go in the second half, and Wisconsin beat them by 9. You make your free throws down the stretch, and you don't make.
They played Wisconsin really well, like you said, for 30 minutes.
Again, and Wisconsin isn't a very deep team that's going to hurt you from multiple positions. And if their two are better than Illinois' two, well, it's going to be a tough night for the Illini, and there's a reason they're 4-10. I don't even know what their overall record is. I don't even think it matters anymore. When you're 4-10 in league play, that's what I want to know. I don't care that you beat Augustana College four times in the.
No, they're 12-15. I mean,
there it is.
There wasn't easy in the pre-conference. They lost to North Florida. Providence is decent. Chattanooga.
And I know it's hard to win on the road in the Big Ten. I get all that. Mm-hmm. Michigan State showed you last night that if you want to be playing good basketball at the end of the season to affect. Michigan State could finish fifth in the league, be a 2-seed.
Yeah.
To play big-time basketball at the end of the year on the road, you have to go out and perform. Nobody put those 14 threes in for Michigan State last night. Mm-hmm. Bryn Forbes hit 7-10, and Valentine was 4-7. Do the math.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. It was an unbelievable shooting performance. They took good shots. They made good shots. And they did it. Jay Sean Tate's hurt for Ohio State. Got it. Don't care.
Did he get that slap in the floor on that one defensive play?
I don't know. Was that him? The guy that was him. Blew by him. Yeah. And he has a torn labrum in his left shoulder and the pain and suffering. His 15-12 on the weekend couldn't carry over.
No.
And it was done. So, again, everybody's a little bit unlucky. But if you told me before the season started you had to beat John Gross, Fran McCaffrey, and Mark Turgeon for a regular season Big Ten championship,
take your chances.
Oh, I would have signed up gleefully for that before the schedule came out. No questions asked. Now it's time to go out and do it.
Got to take a quick break. We'll talk about what IU needs to do themselves and on defensive side when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. IU heads to Illinois tomorrow night. Their first of their last three, two of which are on the road at Illinois, at Iowa next Tuesday. Both games 9 o'clock on ESPN. And for Illinois 4-10 in the Big Ten. They beat Purdue on January 10th. And then their other three wins are home to Minnesota and home and away against the winless Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Who only lost by 22 last night.
And they won actually at Minnesota, not home to Minnesota. But either way, they play Minnesota on the weekend at Champaign afterwards. But what do the Hoosiers need to do in Champaign to get out of there with the victory? They are the better team. They are the, I suppose, the healthier team at this point in time. Illinois is a little banged up. Robert Johnson, we're not sure his status at this point in time, but they are certainly on the ascension, whereas Illinois is seemingly playing out their season. They did play, again, 30 minutes tough at Wisconsin. That was impressive for 30 minutes, but you got to play 40 in college basketball. But for the Hoosiers, when they played Illinois the first time around, it was a Big Ten record of made three-pointers, 19 of 36. They were 10 of 15 in the second half on three-pointers. Shot 69% in the second half on all shots, 22 of 32. Everything was going in at that point, and you could just see, and that was the game, I think Ohio State was right in that same thread there, where the opposition at some point in time, you can just see the shock in their eyes as yet another shot starts going in. So for the Hoosiers, we know they've got to make shots.
Yeah, and it's interesting for Illinois, the wins they've had in conference play, how many points they score against Rutgers both those times? 100 and whatever in triple overtime, 84 against Purdue.
82 against Rutgers.
Okay,
so 76 against Minnesota.
Well,
they put it in the basket.
There you go. And that's the only way that Illinois is going to have any chance tomorrow. Let's just take a look down memory lane one step further back. If you remember last year, the fifth or sixth conference game, I don't have it. I have the box in front of me. I don't know where it was at. At the State Farm Center in Champaign, you got 21 from Blackman. You got 21 from Troy on an 8-for-10 shooting day with 9 total rebounds. Yogi Ferrell went 1-for-9, 1-for-6, had 7 points, but did have 9 assists in 38 minutes. And that's with Max Hotzel scoring 6 points, Emmett Holt scoring 4 points. Indiana beat Illinois last year on their home court.
That was the fifth game of the Big Ten
with
season.
With a nothing game. Zero, not a zilch, essentially, from Yogi Ferrell. Okay? That is last year. That is swept under the rug to a degree. But if I'm Indiana, I'm taking some really good feelings from that, saying we didn't have our best stuff when we went to Illinois last year. Mm-hmm. We still found a way to get 80 points. We still found a way to get some big scoring nights from Troy. Blackman, obviously, is not going to play in this game. And you didn't have much off your bench. So Indiana is a much better balanced team this year. Look at the game against Illinois here, where everybody hit three-pointers.
Nine players hit three-pointers.
Bielefeld had 16. Zeisloft had 9. Zeisloft did play in the game at Illinois and did score 10 because he hit 3 threes, 3 out of 5. But you've got Ananobi with 9 points. You got Zeisloft with 9 points. You got Bielefeld playing well. You've got more weapons this year. You've already gone there and done the business, Dave. The moment can't take over the game tomorrow night because Indiana has better offense, they have better players, they have better talent. The only thing that can get in Indiana's head tomorrow night is Indiana. Is it too big of a stage for them? Are the lights too bright? Do they understand what they're playing for immediately? Or are they playing timeout to timeout to timeout and executing and doing the right things they do at home to blast Illinois the first time and score 61 second half points? That's the key for tomorrow night's game. When it gets too fast or it gets too quick or it gets too out of control, who puts the brakes on? Who puts the steering wheel back in line? Who gets it between the yellow lines and starts over? And that's got to be Yogi Ferrell for me. You've seen on these road games where Yogi's had to take over. Obviously, at the Wisconsin game was one of them. It didn't work out Indiana's way. But against Penn State, Dave, another Big Ten road loss, Ferrell didn't have the greatest of games. He didn't give those guys their comfort zone where they knew Yogi's killing it tonight. Right. I'm just going to sit over here and do exactly what I'm told to do, what coach tells me to do, and that's when Indiana's most effective. When the lights get too bright And if Troy goes back to being the old Troy and Bryant gets in foul problems like he had at Penn State and Zeisloff's got a cold night off the bench, somebody's going to have to fill in those gaps. It can't be one player because that's when Indiana gets easy to guard.
Well, and interestingly, 333-2665 is our phone number. Interestingly, you mentioned Thomas Bryant in there. We can talk about Troy in a minute because he is such a key to, again, to me, the differentiator is the best word I can come up with. But for Thomas Bryant, he played 19 minutes, had four fouls in the game.
Which has been a bit normal for him.
Only 9 points and four rebounds here, a pair of turnovers. Again, that's not a great game for Thomas Bryant. That's a foul problem type of game for Thomas Bryant, and this is not an Illinois team that's going to wow you with their inside game. So, now, that's been a while ago, clearly. It didn't cost Indiana. They won by over 30 points. It was easy for them that night because of how many shots they ended up hitting, but it still is an example, I think, what the team can do, but also is Thomas Bryant a concern once again on the road? If he was able to get in foul trouble at home against an Illinois team without a lot of big guys,
well, let's be
what's
fair.
Going to happen this time?
Run back his last six games. He was in foul problems against Purdue and played 19 minutes.
Yeah.
He was in foul problems against Iowa and played 20 minutes. He was in foul problems at Penn State. He was in foul problems against Michigan. He had three within the first 90 seconds of the second half. Mm-hmm. Thomas Bryant's been in foul problems.
Yeah.
The good news for Indiana, Dave, is when they throw that lineup on the floor, and maybe this won't be the case, they're going to have to shuffle it up a little bit. Johnson, Farrell, Zeisloft, Bielefeld, OG, that's the lineup
that's played well.
That's extended leads.
Yeah, it has played well.
That Absolutely. Has been the team that has taken those minutes where you say, geez, Troy's not having one of his good nights, and Bryant's in foul problems, and this group is extended or kept the team at Penn State hovering around it. I mean, at Penn State, there was only a 4-point lead, so we can't talk about how great it was.
Bryant has had 18 fouls in the last five games.
Yeah, and that's almost four a game.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. So Indiana has played as Bryant hasn't had any of those 34-minute games. He hasn't had 30-minute games. He's been hovering around 20, 23 at the most, I think. If I remember off the top of my head, just looking at Purdue, he had foul problems. I know he had problems at Purdue. Nebraska game, again, didn't – that was one in the second half. The game's decided with
– 7, 10, 10, 4, and 10 for his points the last five games. Michigan, Penn State, Iowa, Nebraska, Purdue.
And that's it. Be steady. Again, Bryant doesn't help you on the bench. And he is seen now. From a consistent point of view, it's the same referees, same referee pool all season long. Mm-hmm. He can eliminate half of his fouls a game by taking a deep breath. They're reaching over the top.
Right.
They're bumping. They're reaching in on dribbles. Things he doesn't have to do. Get in the post and be big. But Indiana's played without him.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the key. They've had stretches where they've played really good basketball without Thomas Bryant.
Yeah.
Indiana's had stretches where they've played really good basketball without Troy Williams.
Yeah.
That's the key to this team. When this team relies on standing around and watching a couple guys do work, things get a little tough. Things get a little tight. Unless you're up 40 points in the second half against Illinois and Troy's doing his thing.
But clearly,
that's fine.
I mean, clearly at this stage of the season, you'd like to get past most of that issue. Now, in any game,
wouldn't
I mean,
it mix for a nice night with everybody out of foul trouble?
Exactly, especially with Thomas and Troy. And I think, I mean, you look at the two separately, but yes. they're both kind of in the fall.
If Zeisloff gets in foul trouble, you're all right.
No, yeah, exactly.
You're all right.
But with Thomas, I mean, he has been a foul magnet. With Troy, you know he's been up and down, but when he's up, it's so good. And when he's down, you know, they've gotten past it. They've managed that. But at some point here, if this team is going to be Big Ten champion going on somewhere into the postseason, you think those guys have got to stop having
those
at
nights.
Least more frequent no-show type of nights or difficult type of nights, because that puts more pressure on everybody else out there.
It does, and that's the key. When you're forcing guys in uncomfortable situations, that's what Indiana's trying to do to the other team, not to themselves. But the attrition they have found going through this, and it's a good news, bad news thing. The bad news is you'd like to see more consistency out of those better players. The good news is Indiana, Dave, has fought through it most of the time. The only time they've really struggled with it has been when? At Wisconsin, at Penn State, and what was the other loss? I can't even think of it off the top of my head. At Michigan State, it didn't even Michigan matter State, in that night. It wouldn't have mattered if anybody had no fouls, one foul, or anything else. But Thomas Bryant was in foul problems that night. When you have a full deck of cards, it's going to be more important again against Iowa. But Iowa might not mean anything if you stub your toe and fall asleep at the wheel at Shambana tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. You've got to be better. You've got to excel. This is the time of the year, Robert Johnson or not Robert Johnson, you can't wait for him to get better. You can't use that as a crutch, no pun intended, or an excuse. excuse. Mm-hmm. It has to execute now. There's experienced guys on that team. Bielfeldt, Zeisloff, those are upperclassmen that have to step up and take it.
You've got three seniors on this team, and they've been the steadying force down the stretch here.
And you can always find guys to defend. You can always throw a zone at them as well. There are ways of slowing it down where Robert Johnson – obviously, you want Robert Johnson at 100%. Him not playing tomorrow or playing limited minutes, in my opinion, should not hold this Indiana team back. They're better. They are better organized. They're better offensively. They're better coached. Mm-hmm. And Robert Johnson isn't a linchpin to beating 4-10 Illinois in the second to last or third to last game of the season.
No,
that can't be it.
No, there's no question. I think the issue for this team might be that Robert Johnson has been one of the more steady players in the last several games, certainly playing a lot more minutes than he had earlier in the season. He had his own rough stretch. There's no question. At the beginning of the Big Ten season, we could think to Rutgers and Nebraska, and a lot of people weren't very good at that point, and they found ways to win. But at this stage, it can't be so much you're not playing well and you find ways to win. You got to, at some point, assert yourself, I guess, is the way to go on the road at Illinois, a team that you should not end up losing to.
They should you're doing,
not
the other way around. Why? They don't have the pieces to do so. We'll talk about those pieces and why Indiana could be better with Johnson on the bench.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. A quick programming note for you. We've got high school basketball once again on Friday night as number one New Albany comes to town to face the North Cougars on North's senior night. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock and tip-off is 7:30 up there on the north side. And we have at least one school delay. Is that correct? Richmond Bean Blossom?
RBB, 2-hour delay to get things started tomorrow morning. They left early today as well because of some high water concerns in some of their areas. So they're going to give it 2 hours to get going tomorrow. So just be aware of that. That's the only delay we have right now. And looking outside, Dave, it was snowing, but it doesn't look like anything is collecting at the moment.
No, it's still pretty wet. I'm sure it's a little slick out there. I think the roads are probably
34,
just fine.
34, so it's not going to get...
be smart out there.
And if you look at the radar, there's plenty of blue coming our way, which is snow later tonight. Could get upwards of an inch. Snow showers continuing into the morning and then clearing tomorrow evening. So it looks like we just got 12 more hours of this and we'll see how it works out. You can check the forecast and your updated radars and everything else at WGCLradio.com.
333-2665 is a phone number. Hoosiers now with three games left on the schedule as tomorrow night they are in Champaign to face the Illini, the 4-10 Illini. And then next Tuesday, again, plenty of time to talk about the road trip on Monday night on that they will be taking Tuesday to Iowa. And then, of course, they finish over the weekend next weekend at home against Maryland. So the final two games are against the other two top teams in the standings. But you step a half game at least behind Iowa and tie yourself with Maryland if you lose to Illinois tomorrow night. So how do we avoid not doing that? The things that have done, they've done well. But let's talk real quickly. You mentioned the Robert Johnson situation. We don't know if he is playing tomorrow night yet or not. The concern to me is while he has not put up amazing numbers, he's put up good numbers in the last eight games. He's been over 27 minutes in every game. He was a little bit more up and down. He's always been over 20, 22 minutes a game, but a little bit more up and down earlier in the season. He had some disappearing acts, but in the last eight or so games, much better production and a steadying influence. He hasn't been outrageous. He threw up 16 in one game against Michigan. Everybody threw up something in the Michigan game. But he has not been spectacular in that regards, but he's been steadying and playing a lot of minutes because of it. And with a lot of guys in and out of the lineup for problems, that's been pretty important.
It is, and I think you always want your if he starts every game and plays 28, 29 minutes a game, 30 minutes a game, sure you want him. But my point is, I think Indiana can be just as good, if not even better without him. Why? Because it will force force the ball to keep moving. Robert Johnson can drive. He can get his own shot. He doesn't take that liberty. Dave probably as much as maybe Williams does or Yogi does, but that is in his arsenal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when guys
– and we've seen a little bit more of that
feeling
recently.
Things yeah. and not feeling things, Robert Johnson's – again, he I think he helps more on the defensive end because you don't hear a lot about him on the defensive end, and that's mm-hmm. not too many Hoosiers we can stick in that category. Yeah. It's been better collectively, no doubt about it. But even the next guy up in this has to work itself out. And I think the way Indiana's offense moves, that's fine. And same thing we've seen when Thomas Bryant's out and Bielfeld has to go in there. Well, Bielfeld can step out and shoot threes, and he's made enough of them now where he's a problem. He's a nuisance. And you don't have that clogging, which opens driving lanes, which gives Indiana a different look on that. So there are ways Indiana's offense never seems to completely break down, slow down, turn itself off. It misses shots. That's true. Maybe some of those shots aren't the greatest shots ever, settling. But when Johnson's not an option in that, they have to be even better with the basketball. Mm-hmm. And I think that can tune them in even more to get better shots and smarter shots instead of throwing it to Robert Johnson on the wing and there's a hand in his face and he lets one go.
Well, here's the interesting thing to me, though, too. And maybe this is the kind of game where you go this direction. I'm not sure. The question is going to be, if Robert Johnson can't go, who gets his minutes? Well, the answer is going to be a lot of guys.
Sure. That's how it always has been. There's not been a like-for-like sub even when Blackman got hurt.
But with Blackman hurt, what you've got is you've got an extremely small backcourt, or extremely light, I should say, or thin, if you will. You've got Zeisloft as your second guy at that point. You've played Arison Nago recently, sure. So he's certainly going to get some more minutes. But the problem with him is, while he has played tough and given you some really nice minutes, they've been extremely limited minutes.
They should be.
And he succeeded in those, and that's great, but you're not going to stick him in there suddenly for 15 to 18 minutes and expect the same kind of thing. I know people think that's what happens. We got this with the OG stuff too, but in reality you stretch it out a little bit more and you tend to stretch out the production a little bit more too. So the question is, does this team go big? Colin Hartman is a versatile guy.
Yes.
Troy Williams is a versatile guy. You've got OG, you've got Morgan. These guys are playing well. Do they get more time along with Bielfeld and Brian up front? It seems to me you go big if you're going to go, you know, for the majority of the time, if you're going to go with the changes here if Robert Johnson's out.
All those guys that you mentioned, and probably even you can throw Morgan in there recently, you've got enough guys to throw so many different looks at Illinois,
yeah,
to move the basketball, to rebound the basketball. The toughest part perhaps will be the matchup defensively, because you're going to have to sacrifice, or someone's going to have to sacrifice. You've got to play Nunn and Hill.
Yeah.
Okay. So Farrell's going to take the best player. He mm-hmm. did it against Purdue. He did it against Iowa.
Right.
He's taken the best player. That's what happens. And wearing him out on both ends now without Robert Johnson to handle that, maybe you see a little more zone. That's going to be a very interesting part defensively, how they handle this. The point with Indiana that makes sometimes their defense much easier to handle, Dave, is when they go out and shoot the basketball really good because they're moving it and getting to the foul line and getting layups and getting second shots and getting open threes. When they make shots, the defense doesn't have to be airtight lockdown. Doesn't have to be. Indiana has shown they struggled against Hap, an inside player. They struggled against Jordan Taylor, which took them all over the floor. What are the other games they've lost? I always leave out one game there. I've blocked one of these games
Michigan
out of my
State.
Michigan State.
That's the one to block out.
Denzel Valentine's
There's
player,
not really much to say
player
about
of the
one.
Year. Not a lot of guys are going to guard him, but do you put Hartman? Do you put Troy?
They put Hartman on some tough Troy. They put Hartman on some tough matchups, but they're usually big guy matchups.
And you're going to have to find somebody that's going to have to slow one of those guys down. And you're going to have to find a way to get Yogi a break, especially if you're in a tight game. So that's why, again, the offense has to drive the bus here, because in a knockdown rock fight, which we saw at Penn State, mm-hmm. you let a bad team stick around, then they don't care. Then their coach is telling them, we're playing this one possession at a time.
Yeah.
How many transition baskets did you see in the last 5 minutes of the Indiana-Penn State game? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not too many of them. Yep. How many did you see in the Wisconsin game?
Not a lot.
No. What was that game? 60-50 something?
It was in the 50s. Yeah.
68-63. Yeah.
Something like that.
So when Indiana's offense doesn't ring the bell, and if they're short with Johnson, I think that'll be okay, because I think the ball will move better. I know that sounds, people are like, what are you talking about? You nuts? Johnson can hit shots. He can. But when he's not there, there isn't a like-for-like substitution in that. There wasn't a like-for-like substitution with James Blackman Jr. What's this team shooting from threes?
Yeah, it's
lights out.
It's great.
What are they shooting from the field? Lights out. What are they scoring? Lights out. Without a guy that averages 16.5 points.
Yeah.
It is adapted. It has fixed problems. It has addressed problems. And it has continued its offensive mission. The mission doesn't stop with the player. So that's why I don't think it's a – yes, you'd love to have Johnson. I can't say that enough. But right. It is not the end of the world. He's not playing.
333-2665 is a phone number. Look, it took them a while to get past James Blackmon being out of the lineup. And I know everybody wants to say the defense is so much better because he's not there. But think of those first couple games. It was turnover city early in the season without him.
From was struggling. Everybody.
Of course, struggling on the offensive end. On the defensive end, it was better, but it was also two of the worst teams in the Big Ten on offense that they were dealing with in the first two games, too. So there was a struggle period. Now, we don't know how long Robert Johnson might be out. We're not sure he's out for this game, to be fair.
Exactly right.
But it is a guy that has settled into some major minutes, second minutes really down the stretch here to Yogi Ferrell, unless Troy's having one of his games the last two games. But the most steady guy you've got outside of Yogi Ferrell has been Robert Johnson. So if there's a worse time to lose a guy like that, even if it's not spectacular production, I can't think of it.
Sure. And what are you going to do about it? You can't. What you do is you move it. You keep moving the basketball. You keep plugging guys into that spot. You don't expect the exact same production defensively. You don't expect the exact same guys can only do what they do. So you have to put them in their spots where they are comfortable.
So what are
you're not going to ask Colin Hartman to guard a 6'3" guy?
But there's got to be an adjustment to either the defensive end for Yogi Ferrell or the offensive end on the ball handling for Yogi Ferrell. There has to be adjustment. Yep. Robert Johnson has handled he's handled assignments on both ends alongside Yogi significantly. Especially bringing the ball up and initiating the offense. So who is it that's going to help Yogi out with that? Because he's playing 38 minutes a game.
And you've seen Hartman bring the ball up this year. You've seen Troy Williams bring the ball up this year. Because in basketball right now, how much pressing do you see?
Not a lot.
Only when you're down 12 with 2 minutes to go, do teams really start locking it into you. So that's part of what Indiana can do to make Yogi's life a little bit easier, where he doesn't have to pound the ball 15 seconds up the court into the offense. You can get it. And once Indiana's in their half-court offense, Dave, that gets people to move. And when people move, good things happen with Indiana. Even when Troy has a basketball, you can't take your eye off Troy when he's dribbling. You can't do it. Because it's one boop and he's gone.
Right.
So everybody has to react to that, which isn't a bad thing. And then again, Zeislof's going to come in and give you his minutes, stand out there. Bielefeld can stand out there and knock him down. OG can get up. There are weapons that are better than what Illinois starts with and brings off the bench. That's the key. If this game was at Michigan State, I'd be singing a different song.
Well,
if this was the Iowa game, I'd talk differently about that. But again, Indiana has shown a bounce back. They have shown a toughness where they have lost Blackmon Jr. They have not played multiple they have played multiple games without a full Thomas Bryant.
Yeah.
They have played multiple games with Troy Williams sitting on the bench in big time minutes.
Sure.
These guys have stepped up for the most part and have helped out. Because remember, Troy didn't have a bad game at Wisconsin. He had bad moments in the game.
Right.
He had 17 points or 16 points. It wasn't a no-show.
No, that's right.
Not at all. That was not the case.
He does not show up against bad teams and not against good. That's incorrect.
That is not.
He has bad games against some good teams.
He has bad games,
but
he spreads them around.
He does.
And if you could figure out when they're going to happen and not, you would be a very rich man. But I don't think Troy had a huge night against Michigan.
Is it more important that
they found a way to play without
Is it more important that Troy absorb some of the Robert Johnson role, or is it more important that we get an alternative like Thomas Bryant steadying down the stretch?
I think it's the most important thing that Indiana does what they do and no one tries to do extra to make up for him. Because it seems like when we try to overhelp, we hear that a lot.
Then you got 19 turnovers.
Well, we over-attack and we're not doing or we're overhelping because our guy he can't guard him. I got to go over there and help him. And then bad things happen. If you do your job, and offensively, that's the key as well. The good news is Johnson isn't looked at as the scorer type as Blackmon, so you're not like, where do those points come from? What Johnson is effective on is stepping in and knocking down threes. Mm-hmm. And so is Zeislof, so is Hartman.
Yeah,
OG has done that a couple times.
Again, it was nine players that hit a three the first time against Illinois.
So you take one out, now it's eight.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah, because none of those were Johnson or Blackmon, I should say, either.
There you go. So, again, Indiana's drop-off is more frightening to the fan from a looking at the box score standpoint than a systematic offensive way because they've shown time and time again without guys in foul trouble, without guys injured, They scored. They lead the league in scoring.
That's right.
I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah.
It is Thomas.
They absorbed that loss, and that's a McDonald's All-American. That's a top 25 recruit.
First team Big Ten freshman last year. Yeah. Thomas Bryant's not first team All Big Ten.
No.
Troy Williams isn't first team All Big Ten.
Yeah.
And they've done what they've done because the system works, and they have just enough individuality. They have enough guys that do exactly what they should do and don't play out of their skin. That's why it works. You don't have three guys. You say, don't shoot.
Don't
what are you
do that.
Doing?
Yeah, exactly. Nine guys hit three-pointers.
And that's the key.
Against
Illinois, you do and make Illinois adjust to chase you. Hey, the defensive genius that was Matt Painter couldn't slow this team down. Robert Johnson didn't play the last 5 minutes in that game.
Yep.
Purdue threw the house at him. Different set of circumstances. I wouldn't let that factor into the thinking.
Yep. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note again, we've got high school basketball Friday night as senior night on the north side. Invites number one New Albany to town, so a tough task for the Cougars, but they're going to try it on senior night. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and tip off at 7:30 for that.
And don't forget, next Tuesday we'll open up the sectional coverage right here on WGCL. We'll head to Brown County where Edgewood and Owen Valley, the rivals, will meet. That's the second game of two on Tuesday night, so we'll run Chalk Talk around 7 o'clock, unless there's a triple overtime thriller before that. John Callahan and Terry Stoltz will have all the action. Chalk Talk with Dave Maheran and Joe Smith at 7-ish, and the tip will say at 7:30-ish, according to, well, if everything goes according to Hoyle. That's the good news. And then we're off Friday to East Central. Well, South will play the winner of North or East Central. That is the first semifinal on Friday night, Dave, so we'll have some programming adjustments for you on that. Chalk Talk will begin at 5:30, and since it's the first game out, we know tip-off will be at 6 o'clock for South and the winner of North and East Central. If you're curious, the other half of the East Central sectional that goes on Tuesday is the battle for Columbus, and the winner will play Shelbyville after the South game on Friday night. We'll take you through game one, and then hopefully we'll be back on Saturday night for a sectional championship. Chalk Talk at 7, the championship at East Central, week from Saturday at 7:30, if necessary. And we hope it is. Bloomington South, Dave, playing awfully well. 11 in a row, 12 in a row. I've lost track. I know it's a lot.
And they're playing great down the stretch here.
So good luck to Edgewood, North and South in that. And then obviously the Cougars coming up tomorrow night, Friday night rather, on WGCL.
Hoosiers heading down the stretch here. 12-3 is a half game ahead of Iowa right now. Iowa plays tonight at home against Wisconsin.
Interesting.
And that is a team that's been playing awfully well down the stretch themselves outside of the trip to Michigan State, which everybody
Raise
knows
your
is
hand.
Hard.
Besides, I guess Nebraska cracked that nut. That was the first game when Valentine came back, I believe. And
no, it was Valentine.
Was
they
back
lost,
before that?
They lost three straight with Valentine.
At Wisconsin.
Yes.
Nebraska
at
home.
Nebraska, I think, was the second one.
It was the second one. And then after that game.
I think it was Iowa at home.
And that was by 17 or 19.
They got pretty good.
And that's when, after the Nebraska game, it came out that they thought they brought Valentine wanted to come back, told everybody
it was
fine.
Iowa at Wisconsin, then Nebraska.
Right. So that was when the rumor started flying that maybe they brought back Valentine too quickly. And if you see the way he's been playing recently.
Oh, that team's playing great.
They might be right.
Yeah, exactly.
But
right now,
big game
again,
tonight.
Got that half game. Iowa will have a tough time with Wisconsin tonight. Look, Iowa's schedule is not a breeze.
No.
They've got Wisconsin tonight. They go to Ohio State on the weekend.
Wow.
Indiana comes to town on Tuesday. They go to Michigan to finish. Maryland, the other team up at the top, they have Purdue. They are at Purdue on Saturday.
That's not easy.
They have Illinois at home next Thursday.
Layup.
And then we play them, of course, Sunday the 6th at 4:30 on CBS.
The final.
In Assembly Hall. So, look, there are other teams with work to be done. But the Hoosiers right now, they've got it in front of them. And
you can't
and the
rely
big thing is,
else.
Well, I agree with that.
You
and the big thing is, you've got the two top teams in the Big Ten ahead of you. You got to win those two games. But it helps immensely if you don't go in there a half a game behind to anybody and looking still up at somebody. This should be the easy one. And it's not easy at Illinois, but it should be the easy of the three.
It's a lot easier playing at home when that gaudy record of whatever it is and 0.
Yeah.
But that record isn't going to mean anything if Maryland comes in there with a chance to share, a chance to win it outright. And again, everybody's got it tough because it should be tough. I'm happy that nobody has the Rutgers-Minnesota
ending.
Penn State at home finale. I mean, that would be that's what the schedule maker would make it. That's what the computer would spit out. But
no, it's nice to have games that that truly affect the standings. You know, on a both sides area.
And nobody sits around and says, "Hey, after Maryland gets beat, they've got five losses, so that's going to make it good. That gives us a break, so we can take tonight off. And if things don't work out, we just win one or two." No, you play it timeout to timeout. Mm-hmm. You do what you do best. And these are all the lessons of Wake Forest, UNLV, Duke, first half, 25 minutes against Notre Dame.
How much harder is the Iowa game at Iowa, even if Iowa loses tonight, if Indiana doesn't win in Illinois? I mean, that's just it.
I get this question a lot.
Fourth place or
I get this
place.
Question a lot in the world of golf. Hey, it's a Ryder Cup year. Do you think this guy's going to play better? No. His job is to play good.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. You shouldn't play better because there's something on the line. You should play better because at this time of the year, lessons have been learned, film has been watched, tendencies have been discovered, teammates know each other better than they did last week because of film and practice and repetition. This is when you put it on the deck and go. And this is why you go to Maui and play in a 2,000-seat Cracker Box gym against big whatever conference opponents, so you've learned something. So you put it together to be in this position. There is no better position to be in right now than leading the Big Ten on the 24th day of February.
Yep.
Everybody would have signed up for that a month ago. Everybody would have signed up for it on December 1st 100 times and taken it and not even questioned it.
Yes.
So right now it is Indiana rounding off what has been a very solid Big Ten campaign. Has it been spectacular? No. Have there been hiccups? Yes. Mm-hmm. Everybody has hiccups. The 1976 team had hiccups, but they won them all.
Yeah.
You don't have to go undefeated in the Big Ten. You don't have to go undefeated in college basketball. But the game against Illinois will set the tone for the final two games, in my opinion, because this team has had some chances in the past to take some things and do some things with it, and you haven't seen that happen yet. They have a huge opportunity to do so tomorrow night.
Look, this team, it started its season off with games at Rutgers and at Nebraska, and we all said how easy those were, and they turned out to be very hard for them to get through, but they got through them. Yes, they've had the hiccup at Penn State, but you're exactly right. If this team has ascended the way we think they have over the course of the season, even with that Penn State hiccup, again, the other two teams up at the top have had their hiccups recently also, you got to go in there and you got to show why you are on the top of the Big Ten standings.
And if
one hiccup, okay, everybody's got one. Two, three,
And if you don't, then the pressure.
Then you got more pressure, absolutely.
At Iowa gets even stronger, and then that home unbeaten streak gets even a little tighter.
Yeah, it does. We got to
take the drama out of it, boys.
Music means we got to head on out of here, folks. We'll be back Monday night to talk about the Hoosiers' victory at Champaign and look forward to their visit to Iowa. We've got high school basketball Friday night, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk for New Albany at North for senior night for the Cougars. And again, we will be back Monday. We'll talk to you then. You've been in the zone.